Good afternoon. The show is live and local. It's your connection to local performances. I'm Kevin Kelly. Coming up, we will be talking about a performance that will happen tomorrow night at the Krannert Center in Urbana featuring violinist Pinchas Zukerman, I should say violinist and violist, and the pianist Yefim Bronfman playing music by Schubert, Beethoven, and Brahms. That concert starts at 7:30 tomorrow night. Pinchas Zukerman will be my guest coming up in about 25 minutes or so. But first, I will be talking with trumpeter James Sherry, who is one of three members of the Iowa-based Concordance Ensemble, who will be performing tonight as part of concert number 4 at the Red Note New Music Festival on the campus of Illinois State University in Normal. That concert at 8 o'clock in Kemp Recital Hall. And as the name of the festival implies, a lot of new music, some of it newer than others, including a few world premieres on that program. Here's a piece that is not a world premiere that will be on tonight's concert. It's by Eric Iwasen from 1992, the final movement of his trio for violin, trumpet, and piano. The trumpeter's Philip Smith, and the pianist Joseph Turin, the violinist is Sharon Yamada.
Thank you.
That's the final movement of music by Eric Ewazin, his trio for trumpet, violin, and piano, and performed here by a trumpeter, Philip Smith, with pianist Joseph Turin and violinist Sharon Yamada. Here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. That music will be played on a concert tonight as part of the Red Note New Music Festival at Illinois State University in Normal. It's going to be at 8 o'clock at Kemp Recital Hall. This is the fourth concert of the festival. They'll have one more yet tomorrow night. More on that coming up. The performers tonight are all members or guests of the Concordance Ensemble, a trio of the instruments you just heard, piano, violin, and trumpet. The trumpet player is James Sherry. He's my guest this portion of Live and Local. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin.
So tell me about the ensemble, how it got started, and where you got your name.
Yeah, we're called Concordance Ensemble. We're based in Dubuque, Iowa. We've been on the road from California and across the country all winter, so we miss most of the snow. The group, we're friends. My wife is a pianist, and my nephew is a violinist. We've made music together for 10 years or more, and we just came up with the name. Con means with, cor means horn, cord means strings, and that could be piano or violin, and cord is a dance, so concordance. And that's how we came up with the name. We've given about 20 concerts together. We're really thrilled to be working with Patricia Moorhead, a composer from Chicago.
And she's a composer as well as an oboist.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. She founded the group Cube about 30 years ago in Chicago and was named Tribune Musician of the Year a few years ago. So she's really a huge figure on the music scene in Chicago. And her husband, Phil Moorhead, is going to be conducting. He's head of the music staff at the Chicago Lyric Opera.
So violinist is Wesley Luke, and pianist Bonglong Do.
Yes.
Tell me about how you select music for your group to work on.
Well, we started with the Eric Ewazin piece. That's the first piece we had, and we played that a couple times, and we just started searching for some new things. We came up with the piece by James Stevenson and David Gillingham, two pretty big-name composers, and then decided we'd to our friends ask, hey, would you write for us? And that's how we got Patricia Moorhead and Amy Docker involved. And David Veo is an old friend of the Yale Summer School of Music. And he agreed to write a piece for the four of us. We're premiering tonight as well.
And that's called Swarm Wind Speak.
Swarm Wind Speak, correct. Yeah. And it's doozy. It's a really challenging piece. I think the audience would love it. It's about 8 minutes long, and it's just filled with music. David is a composition professor at Illinois Wesleyan University in Bloomington.
And you have your own history with Illinois State.
Yes, I graduated in 1988, and I love Normal. It's a great town, and it's really, really wonderful to be back at the School of Music.
Isn't it a bit an unusual ensemble in that you have two high voice instruments, and in fact, in adding an oboe, you've got three high voice instruments plus the piano, which of course has a wide range.
That's right, and I think David navigates that territory really well, the way he writes, pulling out some different effects from the instruments and blends them together really well. And Patricia has arranged one of her pieces for English horn, which puts a low voice in there.
You mentioned Amy Dunker. She's got two pieces on this program, one of which is an older piece, about 10 years old, Prayer and Lamentation. It's listed here as trumpet and piano, but there's a YouTube clip of you and Bonglong playing this. You're playing flugelhorn, aren't you?
That's right. She actually wrote it for flugelhorn, and it's dedicated to the tsunami victims and survivors back in 2005 in Thailand. And the pretty powerful piece. The prayer is very emotional, and the lamentation is the kind of cathartic, beautiful set.
And then you're doing a premiere of her piece called The Concordance Trio, which I assume is named therefore for you guys.
Yeah, and that's a neat piece too. She's got two movements done, and she's got a third one in her head. But the composer's work, that one's going to be done this summer.
Tell me about Amy Dunker, not a name I'm familiar with.
Amy is a good friend and a fabulous composer. She's all over the country having her works done with choirs and orchestras, and she's written for virtually every instrumental combination you can imagine. She's a professor at Clark University in Dubuque.
Have you always particularly gravitated to newer music, both yourself and the other members of the trio, or is this one of the many things you do?
Yeah, both Bang Lang and I have done so. Bang Lang went to University of Montreal and won some competitions when she was in her 20s and sent her all over Canada playing new music. And so she's always done that. She does Brahms and Beethoven as well, but she really has a great sense for new music. And I, all through school and professionally, have always went to composers and gone to composers and asked them to write for me and for my group. And I just love the process of making new music.
What do you love about it?
I love the idea of working with the composer. In fact, David Veo just walked out. We had a rehearsal. In a good way, he walked out. He was working with us for the last hour, just putting some final touches on his piece. And that's so exciting to me, just to work together that way and create a chemistry and present something that an audience has never heard before.
Have there been pieces that people have created for you where you've had to say, this just doesn't work, either from a technical point of view, or you find you just don't like the piece well enough to play it?
Actually, we were in Patricia and Phil's apartment this Sunday working with one of her students who had written the piece for us. And honestly, some of the stuff we couldn't play. He's a 20-year-old composer, and we agreed to read through some things. So we talked with him and kind of sent him back in a kind way. And he's going to resubmit it, and we'll play it next week at the University of Wisconsin-Platteville. But it just wasn't ready to be done. He said he could make corrections in a week, and we said, great, we'll see you on Monday. So it's a neat process.
You've got a couple of pieces on this program that, one in particular, that I wouldn't exactly classify as new music. This is one called by Eugène Issay, which is for solo violin, so Wesley Luke's mm-hmm. going to be playing that. How did that end up on this program?
Well, you asked if we, all three of us, liked new music, and Wes hasn't done a lot of it. Wes is a concert master in lacrosse, plays in Madison Symphony, plays in Wisconsin Philharmonic, and he hasn't done a lot of this style of music. This is a piece he's played quite a bit, and you'll hear it. It sounds fresh and new. It's improvisational. I think it's written in about 1902 or so, but it's got some challenging things, and it shows off his virtuosity better than many of the other pieces on the concert.
And that can be important to a soloist, can't it?
I think he likes to express himself that way. Our last concert, he wore red pants. And he's charismatic, let's say that.
Well, that's fair enough. I'm talking with James Sherry, who's trumpeter of the Concordance Ensemble. The pianist is Bang Lang Do, and violinist we just mentioned, Wesley Luke. They and oboist Patricia Moorhead are going to be playing a concert tonight at 8 o'clock at Kemp Recital Hall on the Illinois State University campus in Normal. It's concert number 4 of the Red Note New Music Festival, which will wrap up, I think, tomorrow. At least the final concert is tomorrow night. And then Philip Moorhead joining to conduct. What piece is he conduct? There's nothing with any sort of large ensemble here.
He's conducting David Veo's piece, and it is challenging. It changes meter quite a bit, and it's fast and furious, and we just felt it needed a conductor, and Phil is great at interpreting this sort of thing. It's been fun to work with him.
So probably at some point, when you've absorbed the piece for a longer period of time, you can scrap the conductor and do it on your own?
Yeah, exactly. And we wanted to call this piece a concert reading rather than a performance. It's in the work stage. We probably put 12 hours as an ensemble in it. And individually, I would say, I know my wife has put 40 hours into practicing this piece. So you can get a sense of the difficulty and the maturity of this piece.
Well, let's since we mentioned Amy Dunkirk a couple of times, I've got another piece of first. We don't have her Prairie and Lamentation available, but I do have one that also involves trumpet that you told me is very much typical for her music, something called Etesian Traveler for trumpet, vibraphone, and piano. Is this a piece that you've played yourself?
I know the piece. I've not played it. Amy is a fine trumpet player. We've done Messiahs and brass quintets together, so she knows the instrument, and that's a great representative piece to play from on the radio.
Any idea where the name comes from?
I don't know. I haven't talked to her about that. She's pretty creative with names, though.
So we'll just let people look that up. It's spelled, by the way, Etesian, Etesian Traveler, by Amy Dunker. Jim Sherry, thanks very much for joining us on the show, and have a great concert tonight.
Thanks so much, Kevin.
And that's the first portion of music by Amy Dunker called Etesian Traveler for trumpet, vibraphone, and piano. The trumpeter here, Adam Hayes, the vibraphonist, John David, and the pianist, Chris Carlisle. It'll be two other pieces of hers will be played by members of the Concordance Ensemble on the concert tonight at 8 o'clock at Kemp Recital Hall on the campus of Illinois State University in Normal, part of the Red Note New Music Festival. And then that festival will continue with the final concert tomorrow night, also at 8 o'clock, also in Kemp Recital Hall, a concert featuring performances by ISU faculty and students, by Martha Horst, John David Ernest, Lansing McCloskey, Yao Chen, Mark Applebaum, Paul Crabtree, and John Luther Adams. Quite a varied program tomorrow night. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. Our programs are made possible with support from Columbia Street Roastery, roasting coffee daily at 24 East Columbia in Champaign. Also offering a variety of tea and chai, open Monday through Friday from 9 a.m. to 5:15 p.m. and Saturday mornings from 9 to noon. More information is available at 352-9713. That's the first portion of the first movement of the Seventh Sonata by Beethoven for piano and violin. It's Opus 30, number 2 in C minor, and it will be played by violinist Pinchas Zukerman and pianist Yefim Bronfman in recital tomorrow night at 7:30 at the Krannert Center for the Performing Arts Program that includes music also by Schubert and Brahms. Pinka Zukerman, of course, one of the great violinists of our time. And he's my guest this portion of Live and Local. Thanks very much for joining us on the show today.
Nice to be on.
You've recorded a lot of music with Mark Nykrug.
Right.
How long was that? Was that sort of an ongoing recital and recording relationship?
Well, we had a 30, 31, 32 years of playing together for many years. We started back in mid-70s and went for about 30, 31 years. Playing all over the world, recording, did a lot of music, not only classical music, but I played a lot of Mark's own compositions that he wrote for me. I also played his concerto. We recorded it. He conducted the actual performance. So it's been and it still continues to be a very nice relationship, musical relationship, even though we're not playing together anymore.
Is that something that cycles on and off, that, you know, you and others will work with a pianist for some length of time? Or have you also, did you also work with other pianists at the same time?
Well, you know, I'm one of these old-fashioned guys, I guess, where I stuck with one pianist. A lot of people in the last 30 to 40 years played with numerous pianist. I did not. I played with Mark and solely with Mark. I would occasionally play with, in a festival format, I would play with someone or some chamber music, trios and quartets, quintets. But violin, piano, violin literature, I mainly played with Mark. Isaac Stern played with Zakin, for example, for many, many years. Milstein played with one or two people for years. We know that Heifetz played with Brooke Smith for many years, Emmanuel Bay before that. So, you know, these are choices that you make as a musician, as a friend, as a colleague. And it was a very natural, there's nothing unnatural about it, one way or the other. Some people play with a lot of pianists, some people play with one or two in their career.
What made you decide to move on? Or did he decide?
Well, things change in life, you know. And he moved out to Santa Fe, and the profession has changed. The presentation of concerts has changed. Visitation mainly to the venues has changed. And people are asking and wanted to have somewhat different partners to play. I play a lot of more chamber music today than I ever did before. I have a group called Zukerman Chamber Players. So I play trios, I play quintets, piano trios. So these are elements, and they wanted some other look. So Fema Bronfman is, let's tell the truth here, which is he's one of the great pianists that ever lived, you know. And he does not only plays great, incredible concertos and what he does on the piano as a virtuoso, but he's an extraordinary musician and a collaborator. So people have been asking for that combination. We did one tour already a couple of years ago, and this is another one that we're doing now. I also played many years ago with Daniel Barenboim, and that's something that's unique. It's a kind of a one time in a life where you get to play with someone that extraordinary. I also played trios many years ago, almost 15, 20 years ago now, with Vladimir Ashkenazi and Lynn Harrell. I choose my partners very carefully, you know. I don't just haphazardly go through the alphabet of, oh yeah, that's a pianist. And that's by musical choice, mainly, and also capability and also friendship. And sometimes things change, and sometimes they don't. For many years they didn't, now they do. Our music profession, the music profession presentation particularly, has changed drastically. And so it's a question of really finding the right combination, the right partner for me to play the repertoire, like a Beethoven C minor, Beethoven sonata, does not just take a pianist. It takes an extraordinary musician. And so those are very important elements that I choose very carefully.
As we played, of course, the opening of the seventh sonata, the C minor sonata. How does this particular one figure in his compositions for violin and piano?
Well, it's four movements, which is already unusual at that time. Like the symphony, he really brought the symphony to a different height. Beethoven started writing four movement symphonies, where before there were mainly three. Mozart did some, but this is a much bigger orchestra, much bigger orchestration. And he did the same thing in the piano, piano violin literature. It's a very dramatic key. It has an extraordinary slow movement. And it's a very complex yet absolutely perfectly golden rule type written down structure that you have to follow. And it's a very big piece.
You've picked a program, which I'll just tell people now, has a sonata, or sometimes called a sonatina, by Schubert in A minor, a Brahms sonata for viola and piano, and I want to talk about the viola coming up, in F minor, this one in C minor, an all minor key program, or at least...
That's a coincidence. I didn't even think of it until you just said it. It has absolutely no bearing on my... or FEMA's wanting to play this music. We just wanted to play this music. And so it happens to be minor key. Well, what the hell?
Well, and to be fair, not every movement is in a minor key. And the Brahms especially is sort of remarkably cheery, I think, for a lot of it.
Well, it's very deep. It's incredible. You know, it's also, obviously, you know, as people I'm sure know, that it's written for the clarinet, and he revised it for the viola later. And I think that both instruments lend a tremendous quality to the music itself. Clarinet has a certain depth to it, and the viola has completely other type of coloration that that I think is built into this incredible pieces. It's rather late in his life. And Brahms, as we know, is one of the great orchestrators of all time. I mean, it's just great music to play.
Am I informed correctly that the first instrument you learned was clarinet, or maybe the second?
Yeah, but that's about 7,500 years ago. Yes, I did play the clarinet for a little bit, about 6 months or so when I was about maybe six and a half. My father played the clarinet. My father played different instruments. He was a klezmer. He played the accordion and violin and so on. And so I started with the recorder to learn to play the notes, or learn to read the notes, and then I was given a clarinet. Violin was rather kind of late. I mean, in today's world, we're certainly very late. At 7 and a half, you already, you know, if you haven't played 17,000 concerts by the time you're 7 and a half, you haven't made it today. So, you know, that's, but,
maybe
yeah,
this...
what can I say? I mean, the rest is... the viola, you know, the viola is something that I started playing when I was around 15 or so. Mr. Gingold at Meadowmount, he was one of the great violinist professors of our time, he said to me, play the viola, play the viola. So I did. I started playing the viola. I fell in love with the sonority and the sound and learning the clef and being on the other side, so to speak, in chamber music. It adds a tremendous dimension to understanding music.
Out of curiosity, have you ever been an orchestral player?
No. I did some playing, of course, at school here at Juilliard. And then as I was getting really into more and more conducting, I would sit in back of sections of many great orchestras and play along in the symphonies, sometimes at rehearsals and sometimes rehearsal in concerts. That's one way of learning, of course, what happens inside the orchestra. That was a great exercise. But as an orchestral player, I never actually did spend more than, you know, a rehearsal and concert at any, you know, intermittently, just to learn the scores, to learn to see what happens, when you look it up in the conductor as an orchestral player.
I wondered if, since you have done so much conducting over the years, and I think perhaps a bit more in later years, in more recent years, if not having been a regular orchestral player, if it feels at all like you maybe wished you'd have done that at some point a little bit more?
No, I don't ever thought, I never thought that I could actually fit into an orchestra.
Why so?
It's a very complicated sense of being when you are in a section. And you have to learn. You have to learn how to do it. It doesn't come naturally to play with 15 or 14 other violinists in one section, or let's say 30 altogether in a section. In an orchestra. So I do now, over the last maybe decade or more, have been teaching orchestral excerpts, and I also been teaching the mentality of what it takes to do that. It's very difficult to put in words what makes a great player, both as soloist, as chamber, or for that matter, orchestral. But the one thing that stands out above all is the music. There is no other art form that has the complexity and the simplicity at the same time, and the fullness, the total, absolute completeness of a Mozart symphony or a Beethoven symphony or any one of those great artistic, any one of those great symphonies, any one of the great orchestral music. There is nothing like it. It's complete. And to teach that takes a lifetime. Lifetime of the person and lifetime of the person that's teaching. And that's what it's about. Again, I'm not a poet. I'm not someone that can explain to you in an interview like this without showing you with the sound what I'm talking about. It's impossible. That's what I mean by it being complete. So I hope people listen to the music and they look at it as they're watching. They're listening at the same time, because there is no substitute to a live performance. A live performance is an experience of the moment, and that moment can be rather unique, not easy to explain by either one, the listener or the performer, for that matter.
Well, we don't have a live performance of you right now, but we do have something for people to listen to and hear how you handle the viola. It's a beautiful piece. I thought we'd play the second movement of the Brahms.
Oh, it's
sonata.
A beautiful song.
Yeah, that's
one of the great songs without words. And it's not by Mendelssohn, it's by Brahms.
And this one is a recording. You mentioned earlier having made recordings with Daniel Barenboim. This is with him. Pinchas Zukerman, my guest, he's playing the viola here in music by Brahms, Daniel Barenboim at the piano. Mr. Zukerman will be performing with pianist Yefim Bronfman at the Krannert Center in Urbana on Thursday at 7:30. This is Live and Local. Thank you. That is second movement of Brahms's Sonata for Viola and Piano, originated as a sonata for clarinet and piano in F minor, Pinka Zukerman playing the viola, and Daniel Barenboim, the pianist, from some recording from some years ago. Is it a challenge to switch from violin to viola in the course of one recital?
No. It's only a challenge if you don't know how to do it. If you know how to do it, it's not a challenge. And you have to learn how to play both instruments. And, I mean, for example, just today I was practicing both instruments. And they are somewhat similar and somewhat different, but you have to learn the differences and the similarities, and then it's easy. I've never seen really anyone go from the viola to the violin. But if you start on a violin, they go to the viola, which is the norm. You should continue to play the violin a couple of times every few weeks, just for the muscle dexterity. That's, for example, one aspect that's very important. Walter Trampler, one of the great violists, he did that on a regular basis. Many violists that I've known have done that. It takes 15, 20 minutes just to play a few scales, maybe a Bach movement on the violin, and come back to the viola. That's all. It makes it better on the viola.
We have one other example here of music by Franz Schubert. I've seen these pieces called variously sonatas or sonatinas. Is there really any difference?
I have no idea.
And
no idea.
And how does you're starting the program with this piece. We're going to end this conversation with it.
Yeah, it's a beautiful piece. It's the second one of three. He had his brother in mind, of course. Schubert's brother was a wonderful violinist. It's not as easy as it looks. It might look like a student kind of piece, but it's not at all. And it's in order to play Schubert, you need to put an enormous amount of aspects to make it sound simple and easy. And that takes, again, a very long time to understand and know how to do.
He was, of course, a great song composer. Do you think that shows up in here?
Absolutely.
And
oh, my God, yeah.
And does it help to be familiar with his songs?
You must listen to voice. As any string player, any instrumentalist must listen to the voice. The words themselves symbolize all kinds of aspects, not only the understanding of the word itself, consonants and vowels and how that's used by the composer in the actual harmonic progressions. And these are very important aspects of learning how to play, how to be a musician. You can't just expect to play your instrument and be and do that for a long time. This is a long journey. This journey has started a long time ago, some 50-some years ago, and I'm still fascinated by all of it every day. And that's what it's all about.
And you've talked in this conversation a lot about learning and teaching. Teaching is figuring a good deal more for you these days?
No, I started working teaching really when I was about 24. Not on a regular basis, but I always wanted to dispose of some knowledge I got at that time of the great icons that I always came in touch with to youngsters that wanted to learn how to play. And as time progressed, I became more and more interested in, on a regular basis, how to help. Because teaching is not just teaching the instrument. Of course, that's an important aspect. But teaching is a responsibility, both on the teacher's side and the student's side, so to speak, to continue the tradition. And to continue the tradition of what makes this a unique art form. And that takes a lot of time and knowledge and dedication. And the more time you spend with it, of course, the better you get at it. As most people say, you know, I learned so much from my students. Well, of course you do, as they learn from you. So it's an ongoing journey, another one that really makes it worthwhile being a good teacher. To teach is not so simple. And I spend an inordinate amount of time with my wonderful colleague, Patty Kopeck, talking about the kids, talking about what they're going through. Because at 20, you're going to go through a lot more and different things than you are at 40. And our responsibility is to put them on the right on the right track to make sure that music helps them in their life.
You can hear Pinka Zukerman live in the flesh, so to speak, Thursday at the Krannert Center in Urbana. Concert starts at 7:30. He'll be playing with pianist Yefim Bronfman, a program of music by Schubert, Beethoven, and Brahms in that order. And let's give a listen to, I think, the final movement of the Schubert Sonata in A minor here on Live and Local. Thank you very much for joining us today on the show.
It's been a pleasure.
And I should hasten to add that this particular recording is a different violinist. We didn't have access to Pinka Zukerman's recording with Mark Nykrug. This is violinist Gidon Kramer with pianist Oleg Meisenberg.
Thank you.
Violinist Gidon Kremer and pianist Oleg Meisenberg, the final movement of the A minor sonata by Franz Schubert, here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Pinka Zuckerman and Yefim Bronfman will play the piece at the Krannert Center tomorrow night at 7:30 on the University of Illinois campus in Urbana. Our broadcast today is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past. Through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois, more information is available and visits can be scheduled at 217-333-4577. On tomorrow's program, we'll have some live performances in our studio by Adam Miller, who's a folk singer, storyteller, and auto harp player. He'll be performing in Clinton, and I forget the other town coming up very soon. Clinton tomorrow night. Also, we'll be having members of the University of Illinois Black Chorus, led by Ollie Watts Davis. They're giving their annual Moms Day concert on Saturday on the U of I campus in Urbana. Those are some of the many performances happening in the next few days. You're listening to 90.9 WYLL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music and More for Central Illinois. WYLL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. It's 50 degrees coming up on 5 o'clock. All things considered is next.